This is Phil Nee, and I hope all of your trails are happy until we talk again later. News this hour on WRCO-FM in Richland Center is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games. It's 64 degrees at 9 o'clock.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Talk of a presidential candidates debate back on the table. Former President Trump says a face-off will be announced soon between Democrat Kamala Harris and him. Meantime, President Biden making headlines and a CBS interview for saying he's not confident of a peaceful transfer of power if Trump is elected.
You understand why he said it. I mean, the rhetoric out of Donald Trump has been, you know, awful on this. He's not committed to a peaceful transition of power or accepting the results. He's not committed to that at all. And we saw, obviously, what happened on January 6th. And even his running mate, J.D. Vance, wrote an introduction to the guy by the book of the guy who created Project 2025, talking about we got to circle the wagons and load the muskets.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. Trump has a news conference planned for Mar-a-Lago this afternoon. Tropical Storm Debbie impacting travel up and down the East Coast. Heavy rain and flooding forecasts from Georgia to Vermont with the added threat of tornadoes. The federal government's weekly jobless claims report showing 233,000 claims filed. This is ABC News. Today marks 1 year since a wildfire broke out on Maui and destroyed the town of Lahaina, killing more than 100 people. Rebuilding has only just started, with new signs of life returning to the beach town.
There's no place like Lahaina.
That optimism and love coming from Nellen Cesar. 1 year later, she, like so many, is still living in temporary housing on Maui. She's now living in Kihei, a town nearby, close to Lahaina, but not close enough. She's hired an architect and is ready to begin rebuilding her home.
Yeah, my goal is to make my dream home.
The plans now made, she brings us to the site.
To Ohana, two bedroom over here.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is investigating how banks handle Zelle scams. The payment app is owned by a group of large banks, including Wells Fargo and Chase. They have faced an increase in complaints that don't do enough to help retrieve money lost to fraudulent transactions. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish dinner. Fish serve from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and 4 o'clock on Sundays. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
Losing a loved one is never easy, and it never will be. I'm Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Pre-planning won't take the grief away, but with a plan in place, families can spend their time and energy supporting each other and healing, instead of worrying about what to do next. We're ready to support you when you're ready to make a plan or simply ask a question at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet.
A high of 76 degrees today with partly to mostly cloudy conditions. Also partly cloudy to clear tonight, a low of 51. Partly sunny Friday and 71. Very cool on Friday night, a low of 49, and Saturday 73. Sunday mostly sunny and pleasant and a high of 77.
You can join WRCO-FM on Facebook. Get the latest news, sports, and more every day. Visit with our staff, hear about community events, see awesomely funny Throwback Thursday stories, get the latest news, weather, and sports, participate in upcoming Facebook-only contests, and more. Simply go to Facebook.com and search WRCO Radio or visit Facebook.com/WRCO AM FM. It's just that easy to connect with us from Facebook.com and WRCO-FM.
Don't miss the Super Summer Sales event happening at the Family Thrift Shop. Family Thrift Shop's Back to School Sale begins August 14th to 17th. All children's clothing, shoes, backpacks, and all size team sports apparel 50% off. Stop in often, new items are added daily. Shop smart, where your donations and purchases help support your local community. The Family Thrift Shop, 120 South Main Street, Open Wednesday to Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 4. See you there.
Harchie Lumber is more than just a lumber supply superstore. When we say they do it all, we mean they do it all. Crafting, engineering, estimates, energy audits, construction design, delivery, and more. Harchie Lumber has it covered literally from beginning to end. For all of your building needs, big or small, call the experts at Harchie Lumber, 608-985-7207. Providing expert service since 1969. Harchie Lumber, Highway 33 between Laval and Reedsburg.
It's internet for everyone from Y-Connect Wireless. Y-Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages or visit WIWC.net for details. Why Connect Wireless?
Today's specials are country and community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, we're pleased to have guests representing Passages today. Passages, a longtime program for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault in our community. And we have in the studio Chris Simonson, who is board president, and Shannon Roberts, who is executive director of Passages. So good morning to you both. Good to have you in the studios today.
Good morning,
good
Phil.
Good morning.
Chris, we'll start with you since you're heard on WRCO. You know, you're not mic shy or anything like that.
No, I am not. Don't give me a microphone. Just don't.
How long have you been involved with Passages?
I've been involved on the board. I believe this is my third year. I'm starting my third year. I've been kind of involved, I guess. Heather worked at Passages for a number of years when we were first married and was there up through the building of the Ada James place. And so, you know, with her involvement with that, Brass R Us had played for different things at Passages over the years. And, you know, Heather and I would attend the fundraisers and different things like that. So I've been aware of Passages for a number of years, even though I hadn't been personally involved other than helping, you know, give some money or time or talent from time to time.
What does the board do, or how often do you meet?
We meet at least once a month. We have a general board meeting. In addition, we have committee meetings that we have once a month for finance or personnel or things to that matter.
And this organization has been around for a long time and is going strong. And I think that's one of the things we wanted to kind of maybe put aside. A lot of people are thinking, oh, they haven't heard about Passages for a while, and maybe they're not open anymore.
Right. That's it. It's disconcerting when we hear from somebody in the public, you know, you say, hey, we're doing this for Passages. And their response is, oh, I didn't know you were still here, which is heartbreaking, because I think it's such an essential service that we can offer to the people in Richland County and in the surrounding counties that Passages does cover, both through the shelter itself and with Ada James Place and the transitional housing. So, yeah, yes.
A long time it's been a part of our community. I think we determined it was about 47 years. But you think about the number of people that have been helped in that time.
Absolutely. And, you know, this, when you say helping people, this isn't a decision that people choose to make lightly, you know, like changing your dish detergent. You know, if somebody comes to the shelter, it's because they are in dire need of a safe place to be for themselves and their family, and that's why the services are provided that we have.
That's why it's got to be, as a board member and a volunteer, it's got to be satisfying to you to know that you know, you can see firsthand how it helps.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, this is, you know, like I believe, like the first responders that we celebrated a couple of nights ago, the firefighters and the police officers and such. I believe that Passages and the staff and the work that they do to help people who are in great need under dire circumstances are there to help.
Have you recently done any fundraisers or outings, Chris?
We had a fundraiser 3 weeks ago at Sittin' Pretty Farms up near Viroqua. It was they partnered with us. We had a night where we helped serve pizzas, and there was live entertainment, and we made some nice profits there. We have Bev's Walk that will be coming up in October, as a continuing tribute to Bev Burns, who is such an integral part of Passages for so many years as the legal advocate. And Bev, through those years, seemed to be the public face of Passages. She was the one that everybody seemed to know, and she would interact with different groups. So Bev was just integral in what we did. So we'll have more information on that. We're still looking at a date. The last couple of weekends in October is what we're looking at, but we haven't nailed anything down yet. But that will be our next larger fundraiser.
I think that's just very impressive that you're keeping her memory alive, Chris.
Well, what she did for the programs here was impressive. Bev, for a number of years, was the heart and soul, along with being the public face of Passages, being the person she was and being so active in her church and in the Richland Center community. You know, she was the perfect person for the organization. Yes.
Let's bring Shannon Roberts into the conversation as well. Shannon, let's talk about some of the programs that you're looking at maybe implementing here in the near future at Passages.
Sure. So one of the main goals that Passages, we're trying to take a different route on healing and helping victims become survivors, essentially. And that is the main purpose of Passages, is to help people that come in as a victim, help them become a survivor, and that happens through healing and gaining their independence. So I've really taken a strong look at the programs that we have now and how those are really benefiting the victims that we serve. And so we've decided to change route a little bit and implement programs that have more of a holistic approach to healing, but also incorporate life skills. So that can sound kind of confusing, but healing isn't just talk therapy or you know, seeing a therapist or something like that. Healing can be learning skills like how to ground yourself, how to, you know, breathing exercises. It could be learning a new skill that makes you feel good about yourself. A lot of people crochet, for example, and that's one way. It's very calming. It's, you have to concentrate and count those stitches and things. And so the goal is really to implement a handful of programs by October 1st. I'd like to have them rolled out October 1st if I can find volunteers. Passages, like many other organizations, we are short-staffed. We are looking to hire shelter advocates as well as a Richland County outreach advocate. So without volunteers, we really can't make this new program happen.
That's the big reason why you're on the morning show today, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's so many people out there that want to help, but maybe they don't want to just send a check. They want to get involved and really understand what we do as an organization. And so I think this would be a great opportunity with this kind of structure that I'm hoping to put in place with this new programming to be able to get those volunteers in that have specific skills.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. You know, maybe we don't have a lot of money, but we can spare some time, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, back in the day, we had a ton of volunteers. You know, 10, 20 years ago, Passages had a lot of volunteers. And I'd like to get back to that place where we have those active volunteers that want to make a difference. I think volunteers are vital.
Tell me about some areas where volunteers might be helpful.
Sure. So some of the programs that we are going to be implementing, we have an old daycare area at Ada James Place. And it's a very nice, open, spacious area. It has four offices. And so what we're going to be doing is converting that area into these different programs. So one office will be turned into a meditation room. And this is where a volunteer can come in and help people learn grounding techniques, help them learn what meditation is. We will have a desk in there for journaling. It's basically just a nice, quiet room. We'll have a water feature and a sound machine just to really enhance those senses and help people learn how to ground when they're in stressful situations. So that's an exciting one. Another one is we'll have a computer lab. And this is where, you know, volunteers can come and help people learn basic computer skills. Maybe work on resumes, learn how to apply for a job or housing online. A lot of people don't know how to do that, and it's daunting if they don't have computer skills. We also are going to implement an exercise room, and this room will have a treadmill and an exercise bike, and just incorporating that physical wellness with mental wellness. You know, there's a lot of people that run, and that's their way of releasing that tension and releasing that stress. So we really want to incorporate that, but then have that benefit that you're actually helping your body get healthy as well as your mind. We have an amazing full kitchen at Ada James Place. We would love to incorporate basic cooking skills. A lot of people do get their food from the food pantry, and sometimes it's hard to figure out what kind of meals to come up with items that you don't necessarily pick out. So we would really like to be able to start some basic cooking programs, how to read a recipe, how to throw meals together, things like that. And then cooking for families. Kids are picky. We know that. So making meals that are healthy, but also, you know, kids will eat, because that's a big one. And then we also want to incorporate like some yoga type programming, more for that physical wellness and also mentally grounding work. And then the exciting part for myself is implementing crafting type things. So like I said, the crocheting, a lot of people find that very relaxing. Maybe making candles, sewing, basic sewing skills, you know, so they can repair their kids' clothes or their own clothes or make curtains or whatever. Those kind of crafting things aren't just for fun. They're very relaxing if you enjoy doing it, but they're also ways that they could make a little money, you know, they could make things and sell them, which is benefiting them in the long run, but it's also giving them that life skill. So, like I said, in order to make these programs happen, we really need volunteers. So if anyone has specialties in, they love to cook, or they're good on a computer, yoga, any of those things, to be able to have volunteers come in either on a one-time basis or on a regular basis, we would absolutely embrace that. Because with, you know, funding cuts and things like that that have happened, we just don't have the capacity to have the size staff that we did in the past, which is really sad, but we're still able to maintain all of our programming. So that's obviously a blessing.
You mentioned about healing somebody that is shattered. It's all about getting them back on their feet, isn't it?
Absolutely. Anybody that's been involved in domestic violence, they become very dependent on their abuser. And so that could be financial, that could be emotional, that could be, you know, their housing, you know, the abuser, the apartment or house is in their name. So part of that is really that independence part and getting them back on their feet so that they can feel empowered, that they don't need to depend on somebody else. And they can make it on their own. And it's so rewarding when we see that happen.
You talked about people volunteering, Shannon. Could you use some donations? I'm not even talking financial, but like furniture and things like that?
Absolutely. So I will put a list out on our Facebook page and on our website. So most of the programming that I hope to implement, we've kind of done so on a shoestring budget because we just don't know really how much we can put into it. So there are some items that we could absolutely use, such as, you know, crafting furniture, you know, basic desks, things like that, rugs. The main need that we have right now is painting. So right now, the old daycare is painted in very bright primary colors. And it looks like a daycare when you walk in there. So we really would like to be able to have that room painted. And, you know, we can likely provide the paint, but it's the time required. That's really where we struggle, is the time. And just getting those rooms looking more inviting, comfortable, calm. Primary colors aren't really calm.
No.
So.
No.
No. Let's talk about, now you mentioned shorter staffs than you used to have and whatnot. There's still a need. Do you have any numbers for us? Like how often Passages still gets called and, you know, how many people that you do serve?
Sure. So I believe off the top of my head, last year for the calendar year, we served about 680 victims. Which might not sound like a giant number.
It does. Yeah, I think it does.
But that is a lot of folks that have been through very traumatic situations. You know, not everybody that comes in has visible bruises. And a lot of times it's generational. So, you know, you think about somebody who's been in a domestic violence situation and the people who don't have the experience with this are like, why would they allow that to happen? You know, we hear that all the time. Why would they stay? Why would they keep putting up with it?
Now, I wouldn't put up with that, you know, those kind of things. Right.
But a lot of times it's all they know because they grew up in an abusive household. And if you think about children, they learn by what they see. They learn by example. And so if you have a mother or father that's in an abusive situation and their child is witnessing that, that child grows up and unfortunately feels like that's how they're supposed to be treated. That's what a normal relationship looks like. And so we see a lot of these generational abuse situations. I would say, you know, I believe we received over 1,000 hotline calls last year. And these are people that maybe aren't quite ready to leave. They're just tipping their toe in the water to kind of find out what is available. What kind of things does Passages offer that can help us? And so those are extremely important calls because the amount of courage it takes for somebody to even pick up the phone and say, I'm in this situation, knowing most people are going to have that thought of, why don't they just leave? Mm-hmm. And it's really not that easy. It's not most of the time when people leave, that's when they're in the most danger because the abuser doesn't have control anymore. So, you know, having over 1,000 calls, that's impressive. And that makes us feel like we're really doing a good job, that people are calling us. But like Chris said, we do hear a lot of people in the community, oh, I didn't know Passages was open. So we are absolutely open. We are 24/7. We have staff 24/7 that are taking those calls, that are bringing people into shelter, that, you know, I can't say more except we are so vital in our community. And I really would like people to know that and understand that. Not for financial donations or anything, but just as that resource. You know, Richland Center, we're kind of in a black hole, as directors across the state call it, because there really aren't resources here for this type of thing. You know, and we cover Richland, Crawford, and Vernon County. That's a lot of space.
Yes,
so we really want to be able to help as many people and empower them to meet their goals.
Pretty powerful conversation, Chris. We talk about the needs, and you and I both looked at one another when Shannon mentioned the number. You know, I would think it would be far lower.
I would have assumed so as well. But again, that just goes to show how we don't know what's happening around us as well as we would like to believe. The programs that Shannon is mentioning getting going, again, I think those are vital for the survivors, because oftentimes they have such a lack of power within that relationship and absolutely no control, whether it's over the finances, over, you know, the decisions of meal making or those kind of things, where once they are out from under that situation, they realize, you know what, I don't really know how to budget. I don't know how to make sure I'm, you know, setting money aside for rent while I'm doing groceries, while I'm doing insurance, while I'm... So, you know, those type of skills are the that Shannon is talking about, along with, you know, the coping mechanisms and exercise and things like that. Those are things that are vital for these people, again, to help them feel empowered as they leave these situations.
Maybe you could explain a little bit about Passages and Ada James and, you know, kind of the difference between facilities, Chris.
Right. For those who are unaware, they're two different facilities. Passages itself, which was the only facility when Heather was working there years ago, and that's a facility that it began with. It is basically a shelter for people to come who feel that they don't have a safe place to be any longer, whether it's, you know, spousal abuse or whatever. They're worried for the safety of the children, and they need to get out of the house, and they need a safe place, a safe and secure and locked place to go, where they have a place to sleep, where they have a place where they can prepare meals. And oftentimes, you know, the food is there. All they need to do is prepare it. So that's what the shelter itself is for. And after a period of time, what we try to do is get them into a place like Ada James, which is a transitional housing facility where you can stay for up to 2 years. And rent is based upon your salary. In many cases, you know, as they're transitioning, maybe you're somebody who has never worked. It's a HUD facility, so there's stuff through housing and urban development. But let's say you've gotten your first job that you've had since you were in high school, since you got married, and you've been married for X number of years. Well, now you figure out, oh dear, I'm on my own with the kids, so I need to transition and find a job. And that's one of the things that the advocates will help you do. If their court dates, again, the legal advocate is there sitting behind you in the courtroom and making sure that you know you are supported and that you're aware of your rights as a victim. But those things happen both in the shelter and in Ada James Place, which is the transitional housing. But it's a multi-step process. The shelter itself is for those who have just gotten out of that situation, and Ada James provides a place to live while they are getting on their feet financially and psychologically so they can move forward.
I'm sure you see victims, Shannon, that wind up going back from time to time, too. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And it can be disheartening as an advocate, you know, to watch somebody go back. But statistically, a victim will leave her abuser or his abuser 7 times before they're actually able to take that permanent step. So it's one of those situations where in our hearts we want to protect the victims and just please don't go back. But the reality and the reason they go back is because that's their normal. They know what to expect when they're with their abuser. Once they leave, they have no idea what to expect, and it's terrifying, you know. And then you're coming to a shelter where you're living with other people and you're sharing kitchens and living rooms and there's kids running around and all of those things. It's absolutely terrifying. And so sometimes it's easier to go back to that normal, to where at least you know what to expect. But yeah, 7 times is the average that it takes for somebody to be able to permanently leave.
Now, you said his or hers, so you do serve men as well?
Absolutely, yes. So I'm not sure when that change happened, but there are fortunately a lot more men coming forward that are in abusive situations. And, you know, I guess the what we hear from the community is, oh, so they must be gay then, right? And no, you know, there are many female abusive partners that abuse their male partners. And we see a lot of that, actually. Unfortunately, many of those men are not brave enough to come in. It's very difficult. The community, I think the oversight is we're a women's shelter. And that's absolutely not true. We help men. We help LGBTQ. We often have transgender victims in our shelter. So we really are here to serve everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or, you know, gender.
You work closely with law enforcement officials as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. We have a good relationship with them, a good understanding. And yeah, I mean, they're vital to us too.
It'd be a good thing someday, Chris, when we could say there's no longer a need, but obviously there's a big need.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be great? But until such time, we feel we are doing our very best to help the people in our community. And I, you know, as Shannon mentioned with, you know, females abusing their male partner, for those who don't think that it happens, it's often not the physical abuse, it's the psychological abuse, the relentless thing, those inside bruises that you can't see, but that are so very painful. So I'm glad Shannon mentioned the male and the gay LGBTQ communities. We are here for everyone.
So if somebody's listening to the program, Shannon, and maybe they're moved to make a move in their life, what should they do?
The first thing that they could do is call Passages. We have advocates available 24/7. They can call our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-236-HEAL, H-E-A-L. That will get them directly to an advocate. If maybe they just want to find out what their options are. They're not ready to do anything, but they want to find out what their options are. We can do safety planning over the phone, so we can help them get that list together. So, you know, generally when people flee spontaneously, they don't have their birth certificate or their social security cards. You know, they forget those vital things because they're in a panic and they're just going to leave when they have the chance. So we can help them if they're in that process of wanting to leave but not sure what they're supposed to do or where do they go. And that's a core service that we provide, is that safety planning. You know, it really, really helps people understand what that next step is and what that's going to look like.
So the big things we want to implement is you could use some volunteers, maybe even, you know, with some yard work and things like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's always weeds to be pulled. There's always trimming that needs to be done. Just basic yard maintenance. But then we also are in need of people who can come in and clean apartments once somebody moves out. And go in and do that deep clean and get it nice and sparkling and pretty for that next person who that may be their very first apartment. And that gets me really excited because that is such a feeling when you see somebody move into their own apartment that they did on their own. So having that time available to really go in and clean good, deep cleaning, that's always a need. And that's periodically, you know, here and there. We'd love to have folks that would be excited about presenting that to a new resident.
What about food donations? Do you still accept those?
We generally do. Right now, as far as food, we are fortunate that we get commodities from the food pantry.
Okay.
And so at this time, we are fully stocked with food. The main need, if somebody, you know, really wanted to donate food, is things like hamburger. We were blessed to have the locker provide us with 25 pounds of hamburger this last year, which was more than helpful. We normally don't get hamburger, which is, you can make anything with hamburger, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always say, you know, when deer season comes, you know, there's people that donate their deer. They just want to hunt. They want to do that, but they don't really want the meat. Passages, please think of us because we could really benefit from having that fresh meat.
Yeah, we'll keep you in mind, and certainly we've got some important dates coming up. You mentioned getting those some of the new programs implemented by October 1st, and Chris, you'll have some more information on the Bev's Walk coming up as well in a few weeks.
Yes, we're going to be nailing that down here within the next week or so. Just got an email a couple of days ago saying, you know, for volunteers, for people, you know, on staff and on the board, which of these dates works best for you. And as we wait for everybody to respond, we'll make a decision on that and then get word out into the community.
Wonderful. Yes. Anything else either of you would like to add this morning?
I would just like to thank the people that have been continuous supporters. You know, a lot of our supporters are behind the scenes and do collections for us and things like that. And we absolutely value each and every one of them. It's for a nonprofit program, we couldn't do it without that community support. So I just want to say thank you.
Great. Chris?
I think this would be a good opportunity to publicly recognize Jim Patch for all the work he's done for us for at least three decades. Jim worked tirelessly on the Board of Passages while he was in charge of Elm Grove Dairy when he came back into town. And Jim was just an integral part of what we did, always supporting, always having great advice. So I want to thank Jim for all that he has done for us.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Well, come back and see us when you've got a few more things and more exciting news.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. Shannon Roberts here today on WRCO, Executive Director of Passages, and Chris Simonson, Board of Directors, Shannon of Passages, and Ada James Place. Coming up, more details on The Morning Show in a moment from WRCO.
Hi, this is Danny Miller, Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. You know, we got the best books. You know, we got the best wine. You know, we have the best records in probably southwest Wisconsin, and they're the best curated records, and I mean curated. We have the best records, and they're going out to the best homes. You should come by. Come by Saturday when we have two gents here nerding it out over the records. Old Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Every day there's something new.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription. reception center, where your family always comes first.
Attention auto mechanics. TC Auto Works in Richland Center is continuing to grow, and they need you. They are hiring an automotive technician with 3 years of experience preferred and a strong work history. Enjoy highly competitive pay and a full-service automotive repair facility with a fun, low-stress, family-owned atmosphere. Along with competitive pay, you will be eligible for a large package of benefits including retirement plans, paid vacation, much, much more. Call 383-1700 or pick up an application at TC Auto Works, 1201 Highway 14 East, Richland Center.
The decisions you face when planning a funeral might seem overwhelming at first. We're ready to help. I'm Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. We can help you make choices one by one and make the journey one of love, healing, and life celebration. Our staff at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service is committed to providing support, compassion, information, and directed as needed for everyone dealing with loss and grief.
Landowners manage a variety of assets every day. Trees on your property are an asset you shouldn't take for granted. The staff of Meister Log and Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber in southwest Wisconsin since 1936. Meister's professional forest management team can help you make the decisions that will be in the best interest of you and your trees. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log and Lumber, 608-434-4413.
Don't miss the Super Summer Sales event happening at the Family Thrift Shop. Family Thrift Shop's Back to School Sale begins August 14th to 17th. All children's clothing, shoes, backpacks, and all size team sports apparel 50% off. Stop in often, new items are added daily. Shop smart, where your donations and purchases help support your local community. The Family Thrift Shop, 120 South Main Street. Open Wednesday to Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 10 to 4. See you there!
This is the Compeer Minute, featuring Compeer Financial CEO, Jace Wagner.
Hey there, folks. At Compeer, giving back is at the heart of what we do. We call it patronage, a key part of our cooperative model. We're excited to announce that this year, we're returning $185 million to our amazing member owners. That's 42% of 2023 earnings. In February, $52 million in allocated equities went back to our members. And this August, we're returning another $133 million to our clients. So look for those checks in the mail very soon. Since 2017, we've shared over $1 billion with our hardworking agricultural partners. We're committed to standing by them through thick and thin, offering solid advice and unwavering support, no matter what the industry throws our way. For more details, visit compeer.com/patronage.
That's compeer.com/patronage.
On our morning show today, we shift gears a little bit and we bring in one of our old friends here. He's 30 years old now. He's
don't tell him that.
Jaco, nice to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you, Phil.
Oh,
thanks
sounds
so
like
much
you've been busy, hasn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Thanks so much for inviting me back to the station. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, it's always great to have you. So one of our favorite recording sons. Have you been busy lately?
Yes, sir. I've always busy in the studio, and I tell my friends and family that I'm just cutting grass, cutting loose, and cutting hair, pretty much, and literally those things.
Yeah,
but not cutting cheese.
No,
not anymore.
Last time you brought us some cheese, I believe, didn't you?
Did you eat it?
Well, I think so.
Yeah,
I don't think it's still in the refrigerator.
Well, one would know if they ate it. I'm just kidding. If you didn't eat it, I wouldn't hold you against it. There, anybody who's listening, I used to work at my uncle's cheese plant, on Loretto Ridge, and usually we would be cutting like these like 10-year-old cheeses or 12-year-old cheeses, and we'd have little bits that would fall off, and I'd package them up And one of those packages I gave to Phil and some of the crew at WRCO. So that's how it works.
Good stuff. So what's your favorite? Old cheese, cheddar, young cheddar, or curd? Or?
Well, I'll devour a Munster any day.
Good call.
So it's kind of, a younger cheese. But, I mean, feel refined, a 10-year cheddar is always good. But I don't want to sound too Wisconsin here today.
Sounds really good. Yeah. So, we talked to you when you were on the national show. Its title escapes me.
America's Song Contest. Forgot too.
And you represented Wisconsin. And I know you talked to us during that time, and you were still kind of under contract. You couldn't really talk a lot about it, but you probably can now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
What was it like to have like 10 cameras on you at all times?
As I always used to say, it was a good learning experience. Just making sure you know where to look. But like I said, I'm much more vocal now about my whole experience. They made me sign like an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement form, and usually it's just like the nitty gritty of the situation, like don't talk about how much you got paid and so forth. But usually I like to tell people about the magical process, about how it really came about. Usually I would just tell people they called me and that's what happened. But it was a lot more magical than that.
Our complaint was the fact that you were competing against like Michael Bolton and people like that were already established. I mean, I'm not sure whose idea that was.
Yeah, I don't know. there were a lot of interesting musicians on that show, but I can't really go into depth about how they went about that. Mm-hmm. It was a lot different from the template of this thing called Eurovision. So I would say American Song Contest, the NBC show, was quite a derivative of that. It wasn't really, the exact same thing, but.
And Snoop Dogg's an even bigger star now. He's been covering the Olympics. He's kind of like he's the big deal. And there you were. You were right beside him, weren't you?
Yeah. Once you're sponsored by NBC, I guess you got to show up where they tell you to go.
Well, you've got some new music out, and you've chosen to kind of do like a little bit of a revisioned version of a Johnny Cash song. What can you tell us about it, Jaco?
Folsom Prison Blues has always been a first for me, and starting my journey, going all the way back, folks, to I think it would be 2010 or 2011 when I was in high school. My music teacher signed my punk band up for like this battle of the bands thing that Wisconsin was holding called Launchpad. And I was like, well, I really like a lot of like classic rock. I think of it classic rock, but anyways, Johnny Cash, the Sun Records stuff. So I was like, how can I make this version mine? And ended up doing it for the Launchpad thing. And I remember one of the judges was saying, it's the intro is, it's kind of boring. And I'm like, man, this is, a spin on a classic song, And then, so that was my first time really performing in front of a lot of people during that battle of the bands. And then another first time was I was busking at a local place that you might know called Rumble Seats in Spring Green. And I was a busking musician, and I walked into the restaurant just blasting Folsom Prison Blues. Well, I hear the train coming. And everybody in the restaurant that I was eating was covering their ears. And I was just like, maybe I'm not good. And then to take it even further, my first YouTube video that I posted was Folsom Prison Blues. And it was just a ridiculous video, and I was wearing this straw boater hat, and I made a sign made out of a old soda carton thing with my name on it, and it was just not my proudest moment. But anyways, Folsom Prison Blues was always like my first song that I had in my back pocket that I would do. So eventually I took down that YouTube video, and I tweak the song through the years, and eventually I was just like, I want to start putting out more YouTube videos to my international audience, and I was like, Folsom Prison Blues is good. I'm gonna put that out.
Let's give
put
it
my little spin.
Yeah, the spin of it. All right, Jayco on WRCO's Morning Show.
I don't know when, well, I'm stuck to Folsom Prison. Time keeps dragging on. That train keeps rolling on down the San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy. Don't you ever play them guns, but I shot a man. Cigars, well, I knew I had it coming. I knew I can't be free. Them people keep on moving. That's what tortures me.
Yes, there you go. Folsom Prison Blues. That's
What'd you think about it?
I like it, yeah.
I need validation. No, I'm just kidding.
You're playing all the instruments on there?
Well, I know I did tell you I did, but, you know, the drums, I work with a program, so it's a music program, so it increases the workflow. So I'm able to get, like, recorded snare drum sounds and everything, so I put that together. Uh-huh. But, yes.
Sure.
Technically, yes.
Technically, yes.
I have to, yep.
And you've been singing that since your days at Weston Schools back in the day.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
You started at 12, you told me, kind of getting into the music business?
Professionally, yes.
Yeah. Isn't that, wow, crazy.
Yep. And I was always doing it just as a hobby, you know, when a lot younger than that. But yeah, Weston was pretty much, yeah, when I was like, yeah, I just want to do my thing.
Have you played at your own class reunion yet or not?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No.
Maybe that's coming up.
No, it's. I think we've had a couple, and I've always been out of state around that time. You know, last one I was in Florida, and the other time I was, you know, busy with that L.A. stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
Big time stuff, yeah.
The other question is, where can a guy get a pair of pants like that that you got?
Oh, my fancy color? Pants?
Yeah, those fancy pants you got. What color is that anyway?
This is like Daphne blue.
Okay.
Like a light blue, sky blue type of thing. Yeah. I got them just on Etsy.
Really?
A place online. Yeah.
Okay. They may not have my size. But.
They might. Give it a check. You know, I got my snowshoes on too today. Do you remember those?
The white.
The shoes are impressive.
The white shoes.
I was looking for some of those. I had a wedding last week that I went to. I was looking for white shoes. So where's the guy get those?
You were going to try to snag mine. Yeah. What you're saying.
They may not.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. But yeah, you always get that like Elvis look because Elvis wore pants that color.
Well,
back in the day.
I don't know, but yeah. Yeah, I just like high waist pants because I feel like a lot of pants. You know, I'm kind of like slightly above average and I was gonna say in length, but
height.
Yes. High waist pants, just I think they're just cooler.
Looking good.
Yeah.
But it shows your influences, though. You were influenced by a lot of those guys.
I was influenced by a lot of blues, gospel, and I was talking about a lot of like country western. Yep. Cowboy bebop type of stuff.
Yeah. Which has made a little bit of a comeback these days, hasn't it?
Yeah. You're correct. Yeah, it's taking the pop scene by storm. Yeah,
it really has. It's been a real resurgence there. Are there any artists out there right now that you really admire their work of, or anybody you can think of?
No.
No?
I'm just kidding.
A Jaco duet, because duets are kind of the thing right now for artists.
That's a good question. I don't have anything. I'm into like a lot of the obscure artists. So I'm sure if I talked about them right now, it would kind of
right over my
head. Not sound, you know, kind of boastful, but it would probably fly over a lot of people's head. And there's one artist, if you really want to know, it's JD McPherson. He's kind of like an R&B rock and roll type of dude. Mm-hmm. And he comes from Tulsa, Oklahoma. But anyways, yeah, he was always my idol. He's actually the reason why, like, I'm doing the things that I'm doing today. And yeah.
In the state of Wisconsin, Jaco, there are a lot. I mean, it's a real busy scene. There are a lot of great artists from Wisconsin, aren't there?
Wisconsin is a happening place. When I was representing the state of Wisconsin, I had to touch on a lot of the historical public figures that came out of Wisconsin. And one of them that I really admire and a lot of people know about is Les Paul. Mm-hmm. And to kind of transition it and bring it back to that last song that you played, Folsom Prison Blues, I was always, I took a lot of time trying to find the right key to sing it in. And I was exploring all the different music keys. And I read something about Les Paul in a book, and he was actually in Milwaukee visiting this one vet, and this vet, half of his body was paralyzed, and he wanted to play guitar, and he was talking to Les Paul, famous guitar builder, Gibson guitars, and he was like, you know, you can still play guitar, like, you know, you only need like one hand, pretty much. You can still tap a guitar. You don't need to strum, contrary to popular belief. And anyways, in this book I was reading, I flipped to the page and it was like, I played a song in the key of F sharp. This is what Les Paul said. And I was like, well, maybe I should play Folsom Prison Blues in the key of F sharp. You know, it was kind of like the answer right there. But anyways, that's to bring it back to the song, but there's a lot of musicians that have came out of Wisconsin, and a lot of musicians, magicians, and...
Yeah, Houdini?
Yeah, but anyways, yeah.
Very famous stuff. Well, good stuff. And you have a world premiere for a music video and whatnot, so we have a lot to talk about and touch on. We're going to take a break and stay with us. We'll have more from Jaco coming up here.
Thank you kindly.
Yeah, some new music coming up here on our WRCO Thursday morning get-together.
At Rockwell, community involvement is important to us. Each year, our team donates thousands of dollars to local charities, such as Grace and the Richland Center Food Pantry. Our community involvement does not stop there. We are currently in the process of gathering supplies for local schools. Collections are going within our facility through August 30th. In addition, we partnered with the Richland School District, and therefore, there is a drop box at the district office for anyone in the community who wants to donate supplies to. Their office is open Monday through Thursday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Friday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Please join us in donating these items to help our local schools.
Community First Bank makes switching easy. Our bankers use Switch Assistance to help you change over direct deposits, loan payments, bill payees, recurring transfers, and much more. Plus, you'll get more from your checking account relationship. Switch today and experience firsthand how Community First Bank, a local community bank, puts you first.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC.
With great savings comes great service. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm. Like most people, you're looking for great rates on your car insurance, and we're here to help. Chances are you may be eligible for one or more of our auto insurance discounts, which unlock savings for you. Discounts like our Drive Safe and Save discount, multiple line discount, the Good Student discount, and our infamous Steer Clear discount. This could bring you up to 50% in discounts. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hauling, fencing, hunting, as sure as real work requires